This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Elizabeth Fournier, also called the Green Reaper. Elizabeth serves on the advisory board for the Green Burial Council, which sets the standard for green burial in North America, and is owner and operator of Cornerstone Funeral Services outside of Portland, Oregon. Elizabeth Fournier is here to tell us about her book, The Green Burial Guidebook, Everything You Need to Plan an Affordable, Environmentally Friendly Burial, published in 2018. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Diane. I'm really thrilled that you're taking interest here, and we're going to talk about this.
Why did you write the Green Burial Guidebook? What is your purpose?
For the past so many years, I've been really encouraging people to give me calls or to give me emails and to ask me whatever they need about green burial. This is something that my funeral home down in Boring, Oregon does quite a bit, and people don't have all the information and all the tools they need. So after I've received so many phone calls and emails, a couple people said, you know, could you maybe put all this in one place? Could you maybe write a book? If there was a guidebook or a handbook or something, oh, that would be so helpful. So I did what the people asked, and here I am.
What is a green burial?
Yeah, sure. Not everybody is aware of what this is. A natural burial or a green burial, the same thing, is not having your loved one embalmed and have some formaldehyde and preservative chemicals inside them, not taking that body that's been preserved and putting it inside some sort of a metal casket or a lacquered wood casket, and then not putting that artificial casket inside a burial vault. And most cemeteries need a burial vault. It's something that they require to keep their land even, and that's made out of steel or concrete. So what we want to do is sidestep all of that so your loved one in their most natural state can go right back into the earth.
Which types of burials are currently most common in the U.S.?
I would say what we look at as traditional burial. And traditional burial is what us green people call modern burial, because back about 150 years ago, it was really standard to bury your loved one in the churchyard or in the backyard and have a natural burial. So now most cemeteries look like a nice memorial park, a lot of flat headstones, a lot of beautiful green sparkling grass, and all that's maintained, of course, with different fossil fuels and chemicals and all those things that green burials are trying to get a little bit back to nature and away from.
Would you say more about how burials were handled in the past before the modern era?
Yeah, that's a really fun piece of history that I love to give people. So what we used to do is think about the Oregon Trail or settlers that are coming from the Midwest. They're on a buggy or a wagon. They're coming across the prairie. Somebody passes away, and what you do is you stop, and you have a moment of reflection, and you might have some nice words by the preacher or family. You dig a space into the earth. You allow your loved one to be placed into that burial spot. There is some moment of reverence, and maybe you break some bread, and you pack up in your wagon and go on. So that's what we did. We also did that at people's homes. We had the front parlor, and that was our funeral parlor. We had our loved ones there, and family, friends would come over and see them. And that's what we did until, of course, the Civil War came, and that changed everything for us.
And why did the Civil War change everything?
We had boys that were killed in battle, and they were killed in several areas that were far away from home. People wanted their sons and their heroes to come back so they could have them at church services and at homes, and we needed to preserve them. So embalming started. That was the big advent of embalming. And with that came the advent of the funeral parlor and the funeral director. And then we started having a cemetery industry, and all of this boomed and all of this blossomed. And before you knew it, we were selling goods and services that were taking people out of the home and having that happen elsewhere versus us taking care of our own loved ones.
Would you also just touch on the burial traditions of different cultures?
Cultures are really interesting because so many of them really do this in the natural or in the green format. If you look at Jewish families, a lot of them like the idea of having a burial within 24 hours, and their loved one is in a basic casket, which is kosher, which is going to be natural wood. There's no toxic glue. There's no metal. They're not embalmed, or they're in a shroud or a sheet, and they're just placed lovingly into a grave, and they're touching the earth. A lot of Muslim families feel the same way. And something people aren't aware of, Catholics love green burial. That wonderful Pope Francis came along and really taught people ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And with his vow of poverty, he really loves that idea of let's save money and let's save the earth. So most cemeteries across the country are pretty open to having a green burial section. And I'm really proud to inform people of that. People aren't aware of it.
Would you also mention some of the burial traditions in other countries of the world?
I get asked a lot about Viking funerals. People say, well, I have a pond in my yard, and can I go ahead and have a boat, and can I launch a flaming torch, and can I do this? And, well, no, we can't do that here in the United States as of yet. Some cultures, India, some other countries really believe in having the outdoor funeral pyre. We don't have an outdoor funeral pyre here, except for the state of Colorado in the town of Crestone. They do have one outdoor pyre. You have to have a permit. It's really high altitude. They have about one cremation like that once a month. And they really want you to live really close by and pay your taxes there. So that's really not for everybody.
What are the environmental impacts of conventional funerals, which involve embalming?
Everybody who's embalmed has about 3 pounds of formalin, which is the formaldehyde, and that's all inside them. Formalin, formalin, depends on where you're from in the country, different pronunciations, and that goes into the groundwater, or that just sort of hangs around, goes into the air, does whatever it's going to do. So that's not the best thing. What we are telling people, which people can really get their heads around, is the concept of the metal caskets that go into the ground. If you think about 1 year of metal caskets throughout the United States, that is enough to annually rebuild the Golden Gate Bridge. And that's a huge bridge. And there's cars 24 hours a day going across that thing. That's amazing. Same thing with the burial vaults. A burial vault is an apparatus that cemeteries like to use. It's placed into the grave, so most families don't even see it. The casket is lowered into it, and since it's so sturdy in structure and doesn't biodegrade, it holds the soil and the earth up. So a lot of that, the steel, if you want a fancy one, or the concrete, just sits there. And with that, if you think about the concrete in the grave, we have learned that that is a 2-lane highway across the United States annually. So that's a lot of resources that are just going to be covered with dirt.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Elizabeth Fournier, author of The Green Burial Guidebook, Everything You Need to Plan an Affordable Environmentally Friendly Burial. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. To what extent is cremation an improvement over traditional embalming?
It's improved in the sense that you're not going to be buying a space in a traditional cemetery that's going to need the chemicals to make it sparkling green, and you're not going to have a concrete burial vault. So that's a fantastic thing. With cremation, even though you don't have to necessarily buy a traditional burial space, what we're really worried about is what's going out into the air as far as pollutants. When we cremate people, we try to ask, and I say we as the funeral industry, we like to take out a pacemaker or a defibrillator because that's radioactive. Sometimes that isn't caught ahead of time. So if you can imagine that radioactivity, that bad stuff going out into the air, not great. Also, your teeth over time, people have had fillings, and all of that mercury or whatever the product they use, a lot of that sealant will go out into the air. And not only does it just go in the ozone and merely float off into space in the clouds, it hangs around. And then places like here in the Pacific Northwest, it rains. And then when it rains, all that comes down to the earth. The chickens eat it, the fishes eat it, it goes into the groundwater. It's a really bad cycle of a lot of things. Also, to start up that machine, to get it up to 1,800 degrees, we really need to have a lot of fossil fuel. If it's going to be butane or natural gas, all that is going to be a lot of waste. So if you think about all of the parts of it, there's a really fun statistic that changes a lot, but it's online, of how many times we can drive to the moon and back on all of the fuel used for a cremation machine.
To what extent does cremation contribute to greenhouse gas emissions?
It's pretty heavy. It changes depending on which science reader that you want to find. It depends on how many cremations at a time. It also depends on if you're going to be cremated as a person in a cardboard box or if there's going to be shellacked caskets going through. It all depends on kind of where you are with your state. But what we're finding is green cremation and aqua cremation. These are some new things that are coming out that not many people know about, but there is a way to have a zero carbon footprint cremation.
Would you say more about the greener versions of standard cremation?
Diane, I would love to. Thank you for asking. There's this process, and there isn't a specific name yet. It depends on where you are. People call it aqua cremation, water cremation, biocremation, alkaline hydrolysis, water dissolution. Basically, it's having a cremation with the same end product. However, rather than the heat and the flame, we're looking at water-based, and it has alkaline hydrolysis, so that's going to be some potassium chloride. And think about placing your loved one in a cylinder and having a nice, warm, pressured water bath, just kind of flowing back and forth gently. Over a couple hours, the tissue breaks apart, then we're left with bone. We go through the same process as a regular cremation, and your loved one is brought back to you in a small container, and it looks like cremated remains. And from there, you can go ahead and scatter or bury or have on your mantle, but you still have your loved one back in totality to you. But the really super neat thing is that water that was used, it's actually rumored that you can drink it. And I don't know anybody who's done that or who would want to do that, but pig farmers have a lot of contracts with crematories, and they will take that water and feed pigs, feed crops, and everything is just kind.
How widespread are these greener forms of cremation? Are they readily available?
As of 2018, there are 12 states in the United States who say, yes, we're going to do this. Now, California just came on board. However, they're not going to have this legalized and app for a method of disposition in 2019. And when I say method of disposition, what that means is there are statutes in every state, and there's also a mortuary board or a funeral or a cemetery board that regulate what we do. And they're the ones that say, this is the way we can take care of a human body, either with burial or cremation, burial at sea, water cremation. And right now there's 12 states. The state of Oregon, where I'm from, says, yes, come on, we can do it. The state of Washington, I would say it's probably about 2 years out.
Would you say more about the environmental impacts of cemeteries?
Yes, I am finding, and I think all of us who are green burial advocates are finding with our reading, with our talking, just with education, that just the chemicals to make the lawns green, just those pesticides, is actually harming the workers in a lot of these cemeteries. When you're having a burial that's going to be more traditional, of course, there's the waste of the products that don't biodegrade. At the natural burial cemeteries, or a lot of traditional cemeteries that are allowing natural graves, we are finding that there's a lot of preserving going on. Your body will go back into the earth, and all of you will help it. The ecology is so much happier, and everything, the bacteria, the fungi, everything's really working properly and biodegrading the way it really needs to be.
Would you elaborate on the characteristics of a green cemetery? You've been alluding to that, but...
Yeah. So if you think of an example here in Washington, in Ferndale, there was a cemetery which was called Green Acres, and they decided to have an area in the cemetery called the Meadow. And in that area, they have put aside so many acres that is just natural burial. Now, what that looks like is you're going to walk past all the standard graves that look very nice. It's kept up lovely. There's nice headstones. And then you come to this area, and it looks like a meadow. And you step into it, and all you see is there is some mounds of earth and some mounds of what looks like bark chips, and that actually is a burial. You walk a little further, and you might see a natural stone that has someone's name on it, but there's all this lupin, and there's all these natural and indigenous to the area herbs and plants and shrubs growing. And it's pretty amazing because you realize, oh my goodness, I have turned my loved one into a tree or into a bush, and that area is going to fully reforest itself. All of that grass is not just sod that's grown to put on top. It's all natural from the root system, the bird coming by and dropping off the seed that it has in its mouth. And all that is the restoration that goes on is just truly amazing.
How widespread are green cemeteries in the U.S. at present?
Every state has at least one burial park. where they will allow a green burial to happen. Now, not all of them are natural. Not all of them are conservative grounds, but there is about 150 that are just the natural burial cemeteries, which is amazing, and that number grows all the time. But states have cemeteries, like I said before, that will allow graves. Either they have a section put aside that's just their natural burial area. There's a lot of Catholic cemeteries that have a garden that's put aside named after a saint. And then there's other cemeteries like we have in the city of Portland where they're saying any grave throughout the whole park can be a natural grave. So you just look around and you just choose that specific site you want and we'll go ahead and allow you to have your loved one in a grave. Then they're not embalmed and they don't have to come to us in a standard casket. You can make one. You can wrap somebody in a sheet off their bed. You can put them in a cardboard box. It doesn't matter to us, and you don't have to put them inside a grave liner. They can just touch the earth. You can actually put the soil back on them as you want, and you can have it your natural way.
What are some new approaches to green burials that are being considered and researched?
In Washington, you have a wonderful woman named Katrina Spade, and she started a project called the Urban Death Project a couple years ago. And what she was wanting to do is there was a prototype at the University of Washington, and this was going to be a five-floored model of a building where you have your loved one in a shroud. You're going to walk them up the area, and you have your home time to have your own ceremony and say goodbye. As a family or a group of friends or a community or a tribe, you're going to lay your loved one into this apparatus, and then slowly with wood chips and other natural material, they would biodegrade. She loved the idea of this actually showing up in Seattle. She's really hoping by 2023, one will happen. She's repurposed her company. It's now called Recompose. You can find her online. She's doing fascinating things. And that's really neat because that's close to home for Washingtonians to realize, wow, there's a real forward-thinking person here who's trying to make us go back to be compost. There's something in Sweden called Promesion. And I get asked about that a lot. People say, well, what about that composting biodegrading thing where you can just be freeze-dried. And that is in Sweden. They freeze-dry people. You're put on some sort of a vibrating table. You break up in little pieces, and you can go into a garden. You can do whatever you need to do that way. And again, your body will go and slowly come back into contact with soil, and all that wonderfulness inside you goes on to be wonderful within the earth.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Elizabeth Fournier, author of the Green Burial Guidebook, Everything You Need to Plan an Affordable, Environmentally Friendly Burial. What are some novel green burial options for the ashes from cremation?
Oh, boy, there's so many of them. There is that idea of putting your loved one in an eco-forest. And that's a neat thing. There's a couple different states that offer these forests where it's just going to be your loved one based into the ground. And a tree doesn't grow from cremains, but the tree can grow separately. And it's a tree that's going to be regulated in the sense where the Arbor Foundation makes sure it's paired up to your local region so it grows. So that's an idea. There's different reefs. There's something in Florida. We have eco reefs, which means it's a coral or it's concrete and it's placed into the ground. And by having your cremains placed there, little fishes can come and the sea life and the urchins can come and they can enjoy you. I think people also bury their loved one all the way at sea. The cremains go to the ground, seafloor, as quickly as possible, and everything just wonderfully goes back into nature.
You said a bit about this already, but would you go into the legalities of having a green burial?
The main thing that I stress with all of this is to make sure what you're doing is legal. I think that we have rules and regulations in place, and it's really important to figure that out. I'll give you an example from where I live and what my daily life looks like a bit. So I am in this town called Boring, Oregon, and I'm 20 miles outside of Portland, and I'm in a county called Clackamas County. I'm in the rural portion of the county. So how the rules read through the county, it's not really a state rule. It's kind of a county-to-county situation. My county says, yes, you can go ahead and bury people on your property. So when a family says to me, I think I want to do this, first off, I ask for their address, and then I go out to the property, take a look, make sure we have things we need. Things would be an acre, at least. Do they own the property or have permission from the property owner? Are we set back from the roadways, from electricity, from the neighbor's house? Important things like, you know, are we on a watershed? And then from there, I call the land planning and zoning department and check in and make sure that the county says, yes, fine, we've checked out this parcel, all looks good. So there we go. We're fine. We're good. On the death certificate, I type private property and off we go. A lot of counties in many of the states of the union say you can do this. Here in Washington, the statute reads that you need to own your own island to have burial on private land. Now, there are island owners in the state of Washington, and people also say, oh, that's ostentatious. How can I do that if that's the rule? Well, rules change, and it's just a matter of ask and you shall receive over time if you just keep asking and all of this goes forward, legislation, things do change. Sooner or later, home burial will come back to people's backyards, probably not downtown Seattle, which is fine because that's too much of an urban area. But we'll find rural places where people say, I've been on this homestead for all these years. I have all this acreage. Why do I have to buy a cemetery space 5 miles down the road? Well, it makes perfect sense. And I think that most people do understand that as well.
To what extent do funeral professionals offer green burial services if you look throughout the U.S.?
Green burial is legal in all 50 states. However, not every cemetery allows it, and not every state has statutes that say that you can do this on private property, but it's not an illegal thing. So therefore, all funeral homes are able to offer some form of green burial, meaning even if you're going to be placed into a traditional cemetery, they still can offer you no embalming. They still can offer you a natural casket. They still can let you know that you can make your own casket. So there's these shades of green that can happen even if you can't do everything 100% the way you want. Not all funeral homes choose this idea. Some think, hey, this is great. This is a new trend. I want to jump on the wagon. Others say, oh, that's how we used to do it before the Civil War. I think that's wonderful that we have the option of doing this again. And others say, no, I don't want to be involved. It sounds like there could be some complications. My people don't want this. Maybe nobody locally has asked for it or do it. It's sort of like when cremation was around. That didn't come into vogue for a very long time. And you'd be surprised to find out that here on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington, California, we are at upwards of, number fluctuates, but I'd say almost 80% of us choose cremation as our form of disposition. It is really in vogue now, and that sure wasn't the way when it came about, the idea of not having your loved one at church in a casket, but merely setting them on fire. A lot of people thought, ooh, that is weird.
Let's talk about economic impacts. What are typical funeral expenses in the U.S.?
If you're going to use a standard funeral home, and I say that because there's only 10 states in the union that say you cannot act as your own funeral director. Other places, you know, you're welcome to go ahead and do everything yourself. But most families standardly use a funeral home or a mortuary. You need to pay for the overhead services, and then you need to pay for the container you'll be in or the cremation service. So it depends on what you're choosing to do, but I would say your charges will be somewhere between $3,000 upwards. If you're going to buy a burial plot and all that, you're maybe looking $3,000 up to maybe the whole enchilada, going to a cemetery, going to a church, having the hearse, all of that, you know, $10,000, $12,000. It can be as elaborate as you want. A lot of it depends on how expensive the casket is you choose.
And how do green burials compare?
A green burial can be really completely free if you keep your loved one at home, you use the sheet off your bed or some sort of grandma's quilt, bring your loved one out to the backyard where you're going to dig the space with your own shovels, and then you're going to feast on food in your garden. I mean, my goodness, that's probably the best case scenario for no money spent from the wallet. But if you use a funeral home, it depends on what their costs are. They can offer you all types of caskets, all types of shrouds, all types of items. You can also make your own, buy your own, bring your own. So a green burial will be cost effective in the sense that there are so many goods and services you don't need. However, I have heard of green burials that are very expensive because of the specific cemetery somebody's using. They might go to a top-of-the-line expensive cemetery within a very expensive plot because it has a lovely view or a location. They might buy a very expensive silk handmade shroud, and you still can bring a body to a church. You still can have a very expensive reception. You still can do all of those things. So it really depends on what is important to a family. Is this something you're doing more for the environment, or are you doing it more because you're saving the green in your wallet? It really just depends. It's so subject to personal taste.
Would you tell us about the Green Burial Council?
Green Burial Council started by a wonderful man named Joe Sihe, and his idea was to have some regulations put into place. If there is going to be green providers, either cemeteries or funeral homes or products, there probably needs to have some sort of a regulation so there isn't greenwashing. And what greenwashing is that idea of, oh, we'll offer a green burial package, but the goods and services in there aren't quite green, but the consumer thinks they're green because what do they know? They don't have the education for it. So the Green Burial Council has decided if people want to have a stamp of approval, so to speak, from an overhanging organization that says, we know our stuff, we've done the education, we have white paper. If you look at our website, we give all this free information. We have a science writer who provides statistics. We have a lot of people on here who've done this for years, people who own green burial cemeteries. Then we can maybe just look through and give consumers a list of people who we believe are providing these services, because a lot of people don't know where to go. I get asked that a lot. How do I even know what to ask for? And the Green Burial Council website is a wonderful way to look and see what providers are out there in your state or in your province, because Canada, a lot of times as well, is something very popular there, and just see who knows what. And you might be surprised to find out there's a local cemetery in your area that says, yeah, I love this idea.
What's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I want to leave everybody with two thoughts. One is, when someone passes away, it is a really hard time in your life. And I'm glad that you maybe even will think about doing something green, but ultimately whatever you choose is absolutely perfect because you need to figure out what works best for you. I think that's a really important message here. And secondary, if you're going to choose something, there are shades of green, meaning if you can't be 100% green, well, why not use recycled paper at the memorial folder? Or why not you rethink cut flowers and use potted plants? There's different things that we can do to really be kind to the earth and say we really want our loved one to be able to give back as their last great act of volunteerism.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Elizabeth.
I'm thrilled. Thank you very much.
You were just listening to Elizabeth Fournier, author of The Green Burial Guidebook, Everything You Need to Plan an Affordable, Environmentally Friendly Burial, published by New World Library in 2018. For more information, check on the web at thegreenreaper.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.